Good morning. Last week, we began discussing the halachos when you're dealing with banks or with public companies. Now, as we pointed out, when it comes to Hilchos Ribbis, if you're dealing with a guy, there's no Issa Ribbis. You're dealing with a yid, that is where the halachos apply. And the question is, what happens if you're dealing with a company, a bank, a public company, which is a hybrid? Its shareholders, some of them are Jewish, some of them are not. How do we deal with it, lahalacha? Now, this question is obviously an important question, because if we're going to consider a bank or every public company that if a Jew owns a share, any shares, he's a partner, it's a Yiddish company, then it would be usur to invest, to own any stocks of any company that deals with ribbis. And for that matter, it would probably be usur to use virtually every credit card or every bank, because it's safe to assume that every public company, in certainly in the United States, but probably in the world, has some yidla somewhere that owns a couple of shares. So how do we deal with this lahalacha? Now, as we mentioned last week, there are probably about a dozen shuvas about the matter. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who is the first one to write about it, says clearly it's completely usur. You can't invest in a bank because there might be Jewish borrowers, and you cannot borrow from a bank because you will have some people who will not listen to me, he says, and they're going to invest in the bank. And therefore, he says, across the board, it is completely usur. Most of the Paiskim argued, and most of them said that it was mutter, but there's a tremendous back and forth and disagreement as to why in the world it should be mutter. Now, broadly speaking, there are two ways that the Paiskim use, two approaches to come up with a heter. The first is to say that even though they're Jewish investors, and even though they're Jewish borrowers, somehow, because of the way the deal is done, there's no issa ribbis. The way, the type of loan that's given out, that's why that's what the heter is based on. That's one approach. The second approach is to say, although there are Jewish investors, as far as halacha is concerned, we're going to consider this loan as a goyish, the bank as a goyish, a bank, and the deal and the loan as a goyish loan. So let's briefly go through some of the mahalchim of how the Paiskim explain this. The first approach is to say that somehow, even though there are Jewish parties involved, the way the deal is structured is not subject to Hilchos Ribbis. The first person, the first Paisik to suggest this is the Shaul Meshev. And what he says is, because we know there's a rule of Ein Shlech L'Dvar Aveira, if you have an agent do an Aveira for you, you are not over anything, you are not over the Yisr. So Zokh HaShalom Meshev, and it's based on a Ramah and Simon Kuf Samach, that here, if a person is Malva Beribis, but the borrower and lender do not deal with each other directly, there's an agent in between, it's Ribis Ayideh Shliach. So here Rashi says, Ein Shlich Dvar Avera, and the Yisr Ribis would not apply. Based on this, every time you're dealing with a bank, as long as you're not a VIP, and the president of the bank is not the one that's dealing with you directly. You're just dealing with a loan officer, an employee. So then it's ribbis ayideh shliach, and therefore you do not have to worry about any form of Jewish ownership. Now this Shaul Meshev, this heter, is quite controversial. Most of the Gedolei HaPoskim afterwards argued. And they argued on many levels. First of all, this whole entire Rashi of ribbis ayideh shliach is not so clear that Rashi really said it. The Levush, the Taz, the Beis Yosef, and the Goyin all say that there's no such Rashi, it's a printing mistake, there's no such heter. Even if you accept the heter, the case over there is where the Loiva sent a Shliach, as opposed to over here, where the Shliach, the loan officer, is working for the Malva, you sign a promissory note where you obligate yourself to the bank, so many places can say we cannot apply Rashi's Kula. And when we learn Simon Kuf Samach, we'll go through in a bit more detail exactly what the heter is and what the objections are.
Does the Shaul Meshev hold it both ways? I can go to the bank as a lawyer, and I have no problem because he's the Malva Shliach.
Yes, so that we'll see. Although in Hilchos Ribbis, and that's an important point, although in Hilchos Ribbis, when you're over Ribbis Doiraisa, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that both the Malva and the Loiva are both over. However, in a case where the Malva has a heter, and he's not over any Isser, the Loiva is allowed to do the deal. The Loiva's Isser is based on the Malva. And we can prove it really from what we learned the first week. The halacha is you're allowed to lend a mumr the ribbis according to the machab. Why? Because there's no chiyuv v'cheyachichimach. There are different reasons why. So we have a kasha. It's very nice. You can lend the mumr ribbis the ribbis. How is he allowed to pay it? He's still a Yisrael. He's a loyva. There should be an Yisrael on him to pay the ribbis. So what we see from here is that since over here it's mutter to lend to charge the interest, the Isra of the loyva will not apply either. So here as well, as long as the malvitz is allowed to do this because it's ribbis ayideh shliach, there'll be no Isra whatsoever on the loyva. So this is the first approach. The second approach is based on Ma'arit, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Tes Zayin. Ma'arit says a tremendous chiddush. He says, we know when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, if I cannot tell a goy to work for me on Shabbos, Amir La'akum is going to be asur. So I'm not only to have a worker do anything for me on Shabbos. Nevertheless, if I bring my car to a mechanic on Thursday, and I tell him to fix it, and I tell him I'm going to pick it up on Matzoy Shabbos, the halacha is that's motor. Why? Since he's a Kablin, he's charging you whatever it is to fix the car, and he can fix it whenever he wants. He can fix it on Thursday, he can fix it on Friday, or he can fix it on Shabbos. If he chooses to work on Shabbos, that's his decision. It's adaita denafshei, and there's no problem whatsoever. As long as he's able to do it before Shabbos, I'm not ordering to do it on Shabbos, there's no problem. Zok the Ma'arit, in a case where a person gives money to a guy, he gives it to the guy, and tells the guy, you be my money manager, you invest it the way you want. You have to find a goyish, a hedge fund, you give them the money, and they can do what they want with the money. It's locked in, and they have complete control. Zog the Ma'arit, if the goy goes ahead and takes this money and lends it to a yid, he says, that's adayta denafshei. You have no control. He's doing it for himself. He wants his 20% performance fee, and he thinks it's a good deal. It's adayta denafshei, and Zog the Ma'arit, the Yisra Ribbis will not apply. Now, based on this, the Mar Yosher says, every bank will work like this as well. If you are an investor in a bank, as long as you're only a passive investor, you're not on the board, you're not controlling the bank, you can't tell the loan officer who to lend money to and who not to. So then whatever he's doing, we say, it's adaita denafshei, and the Yisaribis will not apply. Now, many Achroinim argue, and they say, there's no comparison between Ribbis and Shabbos. Shabbos, there's nothing wrong with a guy fixing a car on Shabbos. Problem of Amir La'akam is when he's doing it for me. I'm instructing him to work for me on Shabbos. There, Shlichus L'chumra, whatever the reason is, we say there's going to be an issue. Ribbis, it's not the act. It's not the person who's signing the papers or the people who, or the action of giving the money. It's the fact that one Jew is lending another Jew money and it's accruing interest. So therefore, many Achroinim argue that regardless of who has control, if the bottom line is, I know this money is being lent to another Jew and one Jew's money is accruing interest by another Jew, there many Achroinim say that this heter would not apply and it would be aser. No, because to the extent that we hold that the Issa Ribbis, since the Jew lost control and a goy is the one that's doing the actual loan, the mav is not over any Issa. Once the mav is not over any Issa, there's nothing wrong from the loiva's end from paying that interest. The Issa on the loiva is only to pay interest that the mav cannot accept. Now, if you follow either of these two heterim, it comes out a tremendous chiddush. It comes out, even if the bank would be completely owned by Jews, it would be mutter. As long as, according to the Ma'arit, the goyish manager has complete control, which is usually not the case. Usually if you own the bank, you can do what you want. But if it's structured as such, where even though you own the entire bank, the goy has complete control of what to do and he gets a share of the profits, it would be mutter. According to the Shalom Eishev as well, the heter is shlichus, it makes no difference how much of the bank is owned by a Jew. The point is, he's not directly involved. There's a shliach, there's someone in between, and therefore, according to the Shalom Eishev, banks will be mutter regardless of the level of Jewish ownership.
Yeah,
no. No, that would be different. There, again, with this Surah Hanor are going to be more chomer. No, this is it's said by Shabbos. There's clearly a svara of Adaita than Afshay. In a case of Ribbis, we have a machlekes. But for Surah Hanor, if you own it and you're nana from it, it's not going to make a difference who's managing it. So this was the first approach. These two poskim both, their approach is, even though it's a Jewish bank, since there's a shliach involved, since the goy is the one that controls it, you're not responsible and the Isser Ribbis doesn't apply. The other approach is a bit different. And the other approach is to say that no. To the extent that there's Jewish money being lent, the Isser Ribbis is going to apply. But perhaps it's mutter because we can figure out a way to make this deal into a goyish deal. And this is done by the three basic approaches in the poskim how to do it. The first, which comes from also from Shaul Meshev, is to use the svar of Brera. This bank, there are some Jews and some goyim. Now, for argument's sake, let's assume it's 60% are goyim and 40% are Jews. The borrowers are also. Some of them are Jewish and some of them are goyim. So the svar of Yesh Brera lets us say that the Jewish borrowers all took money that belonged to the guy. And the Goyish borrowers took the money that belonged to the Yid. So therefore, even though there's a partnership, even though it's a shutzvist, there are both Jews and Goyim involved, if we can somehow attribute all of the loans that go to Jews as coming from Goyish money, we no longer have an Issa Ribbis. And there's nothing wrong with investing in the bank because whatever profits are generated, you're going to assume your profits came from the Goyish clients. And there's nothing wrong with borrowing from the bank either, because you're assuming that everything that you borrowed came from Goyish lenders. Now, although there are some poskim that say that use this mahalach, it's also problematic. First of all, when you're dealing with an Issur d'oraisa, the rule is we hold ein brera by d'oraisa. Now, some poskim actually combine two aterim together. They start off by saying, since you're not directly dealing with a borrower, it's ein shlichus. So it should be mutter. So it's not mutter, but at least it's only a derabbanan. What's a derabbanan? Now we can use brera to say that the Jewish borrowers got the money from the goyim, the goyish lenders are giving, and the Yiddish investors lent it to the goyim, and everything's wonderful. But the more serious problem is that the concept of brera doesn't really make sense when you're dealing with a partnership. The whole partnership is predicated on the fact that it's a shutvis. Everyone shares in every loan. If there's a loss, if there's a default, that gets splits among the partners equally. So therefore, it's very difficult to argue brera, since it's clear from the way the partnership is structured that every partner is a shutif and bears the risk of every single transaction. The next approach that's used in Shvili David and by Shari Tzedek uses a similar approach is bitter. We all know if you have a taruvos, you have isur v'heter mixed together. So halacha is we bittul b'roiv. As long as this taruvos is mostly kosher, we say it's bittul b'roiv, and you can eat the entire bowl of chalent. Zakta Shvili David, we can use this as well. A bank is a partnership between a bunch of Jews and a bunch of goyim. As long as the goyim own most of the bank, we can say the Jews are bittul b'roiv. Once they're batel b'roiv, we will look at this entire pool of money as goyish money. And now there will be absolutely no iser borrowing from the bank or dealing with it because, again, you're borrowing goyish money. What? Oh, very good. So the place can point out, David himself points out, that we have a problem here. Let's say you and I have a shutvis. We decide to buy a property together. I'll put in 2/3 of the money, you'll put in 1/3 of the money. We'll buy the property, we'll develop it, we'll do very well. And then when it comes time to the chalukah, you come, you say you want, you've invested 1/3 of the money, you want 1/3 of the profits. So I can turn around and tell you, not so fast. We know there's halacha of bittul b'roiv. I own 66%. You're batel, so I'm not giving you back anything. So obviously you're not going to say this, and the place can speak out. Bittul b'roiv is a wonderful concept by Yisra v'heter. You want to know whether the chalent is kosher or treif, so we can go by roiv. When it comes to dinei mamonis, if we have a shutzvis, mamon is not batel b'roiv. Oh, the time of the money? So the Shvili David says, and it's based on an Nesivus and Siman Reishchav test, he says a very interesting chiddush. He says he has a case where a person has a cake, where there's shutzvim in the cake. I put in 2/3 of the ingredients, you put in 1/3 of the ingredients. So there, the question over there is dealing with in Hilchus Erev Tchum. The question is, which Tchum, who's the owner of the cake as far as Hilchus Tchum? So there the halacha is, the Nesivus is going on the Gemara that says you go Basar Roiv. Whoever put in most of the ingredients, whoever owns most of the cake, as far as halacha, as far as Tchumen are concerned, he's the owner of the cake. We can ignore the minority shareholder. Frech the Nesivus, what do you mean? By Mammon, it's not Batal. So the Nesivus says a Chiddush. He says it's true Mammon is not Batal. If you have a partnership, a 49% partner is a 49% partner. He's not Batal, we don't make him disappear. But that's only when they're fighting about the money. You want to know who owns it, you want to know who controls it, in dinei mamonos, there's no din of bittul. But whenever we have a shiloh that which is negei issur v'hetter, we want to know in Hilchos Shabbos, who is the owner of the cake, how to figure out where the tchum should be. And there, we'll apply the klolam of issur v'hetter. And there we'll say, as far as issur v'hetter is concerned, the person who owns a roiv is considered the owner. Zok v'shvilei davar v'chiddush. We can do the same thing with a bank. Even though the Jews may own 49%, and their ownership is not batel, they still own the 49%, and if they're profits, they're going to get 49% of the profits. But when it comes to a shiloh of Hilchos Ribbis, when it comes to a shiloh of Issur V'Hetter, we have to don, is this Yiddish money or Goyish money? There he says we can use the regular klolam of bittel, and that's why it should be motel. It depends. So Shvili David is going with Bittel. The Shari Tzedek, if you look at it carefully, is going with Holchan Acharov. So they're either or. Right. Well, the case of the Nesivos, of a Tchum is not a Chepto Chaticha Di Yisura. Tchum is whoever the owner is. You have 2,000 amas from where he is, from where his shvisa is. That's not a chepta of an iser. And still, we say as far as hilchos tchum, we will look at it as the majority owner is the complete owner. But furthermore, he's looking at it as yiddish money has an iser ribbis and goyish money doesn't. Now, again, it's certainly a chiddush, and Imre Yosher points out to split iser v'heter, and especially with hilchos ribbis is something which is totally in the moment. It's certainly a tremendous chiddush. But again, there is such a shita. And this leaves us with a bit of a problem. We have that a dozen tshuvas. Virtually all of them say that it's mutter. But there's no one reason which any two or three paiskim agree on. Each tshuva lists all of the previous tshuvas and all of the reasons, says it's not true, argues on them, and comes up with a noob shot. So we have on one hand, we have roiv paiskim that bottom line say that it's mutter. But on the other hand, we have no reason or we have no consensus why it should be mutter. Now, in general, the halacha is, even though we follow roiv when it comes to shayos of issur v'hetter, there's a shach in Simen Chav Hei that says we only follow roiv paiskim when they have the same reason. If you have a three-way machloikis, one paiskim says that it's aser, the other one says it's mutter because of breira, but bittul doesn't apply. And the third one will say it's mutter because of bittul, but breira doesn't apply. So how do we look at it? Roiv Paiskim say that it's mutter. On the other hand, if we have a question, is there bittul in this case? So Roiv Paiskim say no. If we have a question, is there breira in this case? Most Paiskim say no. So the Shach says, by Nisr Doraisa, if any given reason Roiv Paiskim say that it's aser, you can't be maker. So you can have a situation where Kemat every Paiskim says that it's mutter, but because they each argue on the other one's reasons, according to the Shach, you wouldn't be able to be maker. Now this leads us to the final mahalach, and it's quoted by Shem Negris Moshe. He's the one that says it most clearly. But in truth, if you look back, there's Maria Halevi, there's Mlama Lahoyol, there's a truth from Simcha Zel Grieger, and the Kovitz truth from Loyasha that all follow the same approach. And what Negris Moshe says is a tremendous chiddush. What Negris Moshe writes, and he's dealing with Hilchos Shabbos, what he says is that it's true. If you have a partnership, some Jews and some Goyim, we have a problem. We have to deal with Hilchos Shabbos, we have to deal with Hilchos Ribbis, Macholos Asuris, you have to deal with all of the Shailos. Zucker of Moshe, that's true when there's a partnership. You own some of the company, the Goy owns some of the company, so you're a partnership, we have to deal with each and every halacha separately. However, if a person goes ahead and he buys a couple of shares of Microsoft, Zok the Igros Moshe, because you have such an insignificant amount of shares, you're not considered a partner in the company. If you happen to bump into Bill Gates, you're not going to go over to him, put your arm around his shoulder, how are you doing, partner? You know, it's very nice that you have a couple of shares, a couple of mutual funds, you own 100 shares, 1,000 shares. That's not considered a partnership in the company. What are you buying? You're essentially buying the right to future dividends, to future profits. Rav Moshe takes it so far as to say, in halacha, he says there's probably no such thing as owning stocks. Because we know you can't buy something which is a loy bala olam. And if all you're buying is the rights to get future profits, there's no real kinyan. He says it's going to work because of minhag, dina malchus adina. We'll come up with some way to figure out how to make it work. But al pi halacha, if you look at what's going on, if you look at what people are, since they're not intending to be a partner, they have no control, they have no deo, they have no access. He says you are not considered a shutif, and therefore you have no problem whatsoever, regardless of what the bank is doing. So Rav Moshe says, what do you mean? You have the right to vote for a president. So Zok the Igros Moshe, although you have that right, he says that is p'tuli mili ba'alma. I guess back then they used to trample on the minority shareholders' rights. It doesn't mean anything. Most people who are buying a couple hundred shares of a public company, they don't bother voting. If they do bother voting, they don't consider themselves as partners. He actually fears always that the owners of the company make sure that they somehow retain control. And therefore, the fact that you vote for president, he says, is not a meaningful demonstration of ownership. And Igros Moshe concludes there'll be no problem whatsoever in Hilchos Rippus.
Even a single investor in a certain venture, he's also buying the future profits.
No, an investor is buying the physical assets that are here today. He's a partner in the real estate. He's a partner in the patent. He's a partner in whatever it is. As a partner, therefore, whatever profits come in, he'll be entitled to a share, and his partners will be entitled to a share. Igros Moshe's point is, when you're buying shares, when you're buying stocks of a public company, this billion-dollar company, you're buying 150 shares, you're not buying a partnership stake. You're buying nothing more than the right to future dividends or an income stream. No. Well, going to Bezdin first, you might have to do if it's a Jewish company. But as far as whether you own anything, Igros Moshe says that he'll use dina malchus adina or situmta or minhag. But what he's saying is, conceptually, buying future profits is a kinyan that would not work in halacha.
So here, the majority of the shareholders are Jewish?
So Moshe speaks that specifically. Even if the majority shareholder is Jewish, that means that majority shareholder has a problem. He's the owner, and he has to worry about Shabbos and Ribbis and whatever other Yisroel there are. But you, since you just own your 150 shares, you're nothing. And you don't have to worry about the fact that there's a Jewish shareholder that is doing what he shouldn't be doing. It's not Lifneiya or Misayeya because he doesn't need you. Whether or not you buy these shares on the open market will not affect the ability of this majority shareholder to be over Yisroel. So there's no Lifneiya, there's no Misayeya, and the Igros Moshe says you would not have to worry about it. Correct. You are not an owner. You know, the whole discussion we had until now was there was an assumption that a partner in a bank is a partner. So they're coming up with their teirim, bittel, breira, shlichos. Those are all ways how, even though you're here, somehow this deal doesn't violate ribbis. Igros Moshe is saying, as far as halach is concerned, you don't exist. If there are dividends, you'll get them. But as far as a partner, as far as an owner of the underlying business, Igros Moshe is saying there's no problem whatsoever. Correct. According to the Igros Moshe, if you have a significant Jewish shareholder, it would all be asa. Because he's significant. He's a true partner. Once he's a true partner, we have this issue. Now, the other points we mentioned earlier might be matter because of shlichus, you'll have to deal with, you know, we'll get to that a little bit later. We'll have to deal with it. But according to the Igros Moshe, as long as you're just insignificant, you don't have any control, the Moshe says you don't have to, the discussion doesn't begin. Correct. Israeli banks have a very serious ribbis problem. They'll need a heter iska. Now, Yes, they have a heteriska klali, which we'll get to. We'll discuss the pros and cons for, you know, when we get to heteriska. But certainly, if there's no heteriska in an Israeli bank, there's no it's majority controlled by Jews. That is this shaila. Based on this Igros Moshe, you do not have to sell your shares. That is the discussion. Maria Halevi, the Elfuk HaShleima, most of the shuvas that discuss the matter are talking in the context of Hilchas Pesach, and they're discussing whether or not you have to sell it. Because if you had to sell it, you have problems. Because it's not, how do you sell your shares? It's not so simple you can sell your shares privately with your Rav by picking up a Sudar. There are rules. You see, there's a stock market. It's usually transferred. There are regulations. So if you really held you needed to sell your shares, you would have a serious problem. Right, Shabbos has another set of rules because the Goya has control and it's adapted to Nafshe, so Shabbos is usually easier to deal with than Hilchos Rebbes, but conceptually it would apply. Yeah, the Igros Moshe says it's still fine, because although that person should be closed on Shabbos... Correct, exactly. Now, there's also a difference. According to the Igros Moshe, this is lechatchila. If you own a few shares, you're nothing. You're zero. So there's no reason. You want to buy shares in a Jewish bank, a Goyish bank, makes absolutely no difference. If you go with the other approaches, so there are different heterim. So either is a good heter, isn't a good heter. But according to most, it's bidyeva. According to the Igros Moshe, it's completely lechatchila. You are not considered a shareholder. I don't know about an Eretz Yisrael, but at least, you know, in response to people who ask in America, he uses very heavily leans on this Igros Moshe. Now, the Igros Moshe makes there's a very big tenai, and that is it applies only when you're an insignificant shareholder. The moment you buy enough shares that now you have a certain level of control, they deal with your daya, they value your opinion, you have you can throw your weight around. You no longer have this heter. Now, Rav Moshe does not define what it means, what is insignificant, at what point does this become a problem. What he says is simply is, if you have enough that now they're meschashiv bedaitai, now they take the president of the company will take your phone calls because you're a big enough shareholder, they care about what you say, they're trying to make you happy, then the Rav Moshe's heter will not apply. It's clear from the Igros Moshe you do not need majority. You do not need a level now where you have absolute control. It's once you have enough that now they care about what you say, then the Igros Moshe holds this heter will not apply, and you'll have a rivus problem. Now, practically speaking, it's very hard to give an exact number. It probably depends on the type of company. If you have a company where the majority shareholder owns 75% of the company, you can own the other 25%, but you may or may not have a day. On the other hand, in a situation which is more common today, where there are no shareholders that own more than 5%, if you're a 5% shareholder, they care very much about what you say. They want your vote, they want your proxy, and in such a case, you will very likely have a problem, according to the Igros Moshe, because you have a day. Now, this Igros Moshe, in America, I believe, minog is to follow it, and to follow it lechatchila. You know, it's almost unheard of people who are makbid not to buy any shares. In Eretz Yisrael, they're not so quick to follow it. Minchas Yitzchak argues very strongly on the Igros Moshe. And Minchas Yitzchak makes a point that partnerships doesn't mean you have control. You can have, there are many people who are silent partners. Whenever you have a large partnership of 100, 1,000 people, the little guys won't have much to do with running the company. Avo Pekein, they're partners. And therefore, the Minchas Yitzchak completely rejects this. He says, if you own one share, as far as halacha is concerned, you're considered a partner, and you have to deal with all of these isurim. In Eretz Yisrael, there are people that are makbid. But again, in the United States, I think the minhag is to be make a lechatchila. Michas Yisro's point is a partner is a partner. So if you own one billionth of the company, you're the same as a person who owns half the company. It's just a question of degrees. It's just a question of your level of ownership. But it doesn't change the halacha, the type of kinyan that you have. Now, I don't think Igros Moshe is arguing. I don't think Igros Moshe holds you can't have a partnership where you don't have a day. Because Moshe's point is, when people are buying stocks on the market, that's not what's happening. Now, based on this, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I learned in a small kollel, and there was a fellow next to me. He was in his mid-40s. He was originally from America, but he had left the United States far behind. He was a real, if you look past him in the street, a real Yerushalmi, total Ruchni. You would not imagine that he came from America. And we were learning about Mitzia. And one day he turns and he starts striking up a conversation about the halachos of derivatives. So derivatives, options, puts, calls, that wasn't exactly what I'm expecting to hear from this young man who was in the middle of Yerushalayim. So he explained to me that when he got married, he had his savings were all invested in the stock market. And then as he started learning halacha, he came across his Minchas Yitzchak. And he started getting nervous. I'm invested in McDonald's, I'm invested in Citibank, Ribbis, Shabbos, Macholos, Asuros. So he decided he doesn't want to be involved in the Shaila, he doesn't want to own any stocks. On the other hand, he wasn't going to invest in the Israeli stock market back then. So what he did is he started buying derivatives. Because if you buy an option on Citibank, you don't own Citibank. You're not a shutif, even according to the Minchas Yitzchak. It's just if the stock price goes up, your options will have more value and you'll make money off the deal. So in that case, it's not a shaila whatsoever. And that's what he did. He was surprisingly matzliach, but certainly not for everyone. In America, again, the minhag is certainly to be makel.
So it seems that, at least in American law, the Minchas Yitzchak objection from a partnership wouldn't apply to a corporation. I wonder if, you might as well say that, but I wonder if there's a big straw of odds between two corporate forms. If you're a shareholder, but you practically have no control of the company, then you just really, your indirect ownership is meaningless for the purpose of halacha, and therefore you're not considered to own the underlying
Correct. The Ingress Moshe doesn't discuss anything about the lawyers or the SEC. The Tshuva from the Cheshav Eifoy that's in the Maram HaKaimis booklet, he says that before he passed on the Shaila, he spoke to a bunch of lawyers and businessmen, and they all told him legally, and this is actually in England, the shareholders have no direct ownership, and that's why he was Mekel. They certainly took into account the legal ramifications of a shareholder. Oh, so like this. So I'll get to that in a moment. Let me start with another case first. What happens, and this is very often the case, let's take Citibank. So as far as I know, there are no major Jewish shareholders that own a meaningful amount. It's all owned either by Arabs or by the United States government. On the other hand, it's safe to assume that any board in America is going to have a Yiddish board member. From Fry, but he's Jewish. Board members, almost by definition, will always have some amount of shares in the company. So here we have a situation. They have control. They have a daya. They're on the board. They're also shutzpim. They own shares in the company. So what's the halacha? So over here, it's heard of B'Shem Ravelsky that I think he said he spoke to Rav Moshe about this. He said that's not a problem. Because it's true, he's a shareholder, and it's true he has control. But the two things have nothing to do with each other. If he gets kicked off the board, his shares aren't going to help him. He has control because he happens to be on the board, or let's say he's working for the company. His control or his day has nothing to do with his ownership. His control and his day have to do with the fact that he's working for the company or he's working for the board. So since there's no connection between the ownership and his control, there they said it would be mutter. I've heard B'Shem David, I think, may argue with this, or David may hold that according to the Igros Moshe, it would be Aser, which would be a tremendous Chumrah. It means you'd have to look at every company, you have to look at all the board members and the managers or the CEOs and see if they're Jewish. I'll call upon it the way Ravelsky understood it, and I think it's very Mistavro, that... Excuse me? No, if you want to borrow from the bank. Because if there's a board member, there's one person with Jewish shares, and he's considered a Shotif, now when I borrow from this bank, some of this money is Jewish money, and some of this money that I'm paying back is ribbis. We'll have the other heterim possibly, but at least this Igros Moshe and this Heter L'Chalchila would not apply then. No, but the point over here is, this major shareholders is, once you have a deya, now you're considered a partner. If you're a partner, even a 1% partner, we have a problem. If a board member has shares, so he is a 1/10 of a percent partner, but he is a partner, and that 1/10 of a percent is now subject to Hilchos Ribos. Now, again, the other place going to deal with Bittel and Breira might apply. But as far as this Heter from Igros Moshe, which people are Samech on the Chachila, you would have that issue. Now, jumping to the next step, if you have synthetic ownership, is you can have a situation where a person will buy, he'll buy debt, because the bank owes him a lot of money, or if it's convertible debt, he'll even have more leverage, they're going to listen to what he has to say. But he has no direct ownership. Another common example is if he has warrants in the company. Whenever he wants to, he can convert the warrants, he can own, take a 30% stake in the company. But until he does that, he owns nothing. He just has the right to become an owner. Now in that case, l'chor, the heter of the Igros Moshe would still apply. Since he owns, he's not a direct owner, the fact that he has influence is not an issue. There's no problem if a yid has influence over a guy, you can still borrow money from a guy and pay him interest. It's only when he's an actual partner, when it's direct ownership with influence, then you know at that point you would have a problem. Now we dealt with, just want to end off with one interesting case. There was a Jewish company that they were actually the second largest shareholder in an Israeli company. And the question was, the second largest shareholder, l'chayr, according to the Igros Moshe, you have leverage, you have a deya, so we should have to worry about ribbis, we have to worry about Shabbos, we should have to worry about everything that they're doing. Now it turns out they were the second largest shareholder. The largest shareholder was another Israeli company, and they owned approximately 60% of the company. Now, in a normal case, even if there's a 60% shareholder, if you're the second largest shareholder in the United States, you probably have a certain level of influence. Because while they may not need you, they have 60%, they care about what you have to say, they're mischasha b'daita, and it would be awesome. In this case, luckily, the parties are all Israelis. Trying to get an Israeli to do anything is not so simple. And in this particular case, this company had actually was not happy with the way the company was run. They had insisted on going to a board meeting and a whole presentation about what to do to maximize shareholder value. The Israeli board members sat politely through the meeting, nodded their head, said thank you very much, and promptly stopped taking their phone calls. In such a case where it's clear that you may be the second largest shareholder, but it's clear they're not mischashev v'daitzoy, it is more makom to be mekel. So it comes out that on one hand it's a negative, you have to deal with a bunch of tough and uncooperative board members. Mitzay Cheni and Halacha, since they made it very clear that they're not interested in your opinion and you're nothing, it's easier to be mekel. Now, one last case, which is, it comes out like this. It comes out, if you're dealing with a bank that has insignificant Jewish shareholders, the Igros Moshe says it's mutter, and the minhag is clearly to make all the chachil. If you're dealing with a bank that is roiv Jewish, even if it's completely controlled by goyim, that is a machlokes. The Maritz and the Shaul Meshev would be mekel because of shlichos or because of the daita d'nafshei, but roiv poiskim would be machmir in such a case where it's roiv akum. Where it's roiv Yisrael. In a case where it's majority owned by goyim, but there is a significant minority of Jewish ownership, the Igros Moshe svara would not apply, and it'd have to be machmir. However, the svaras of Breira, the svaras of Bittel, those svaras would apply, and that is not clear in halacha. There are many mekilim; it's certainly not a lichadchila, but a gebidiyevah. There is makom to be saimachan. What is an eitzah in many cases is we've mentioned a few times. That if a person borrows money, or a company borrows money, and it's non-recourse, there's no personal achrayus to pay it back. The company borrows, if the company goes bankrupt, no one has to pay it back. So in such a case where it's non-recourse, the Igros Moshe held it was mutter. Ribbis applies only when the person that has to pay it back. Now, that's the psak of the Igros Moshe. Many people follow it, but there are others that are machmer. In the Sfaradish community, they did not accept the psak. And others also, in Eretz Yisrael, they're machmer. There are many people who are not comfortable being sebech on this Igros Moshe. However, it comes out, if you're dealing with a bank which is Roiv Akum, there L'chari you can be Mekel. Because even though this Igros Moshe itself is a Malchaikas, since by Roiv Akum anyway, there are many Poiskim that are Mekel, maybe B'dieved, but Roiv Poiskim are Mekel at the end of the day, certainly when the whole Shaila is when you have Ramesh to be Samechon, and regardless, it's only a question of Drabanon, there the two Tzerufim together, there it's there's very strong Makum to be Mekel L'chadchila. Because it doesn't apply. No, because Ramayishas, there are two different Ramayishas. Ramayishas, by corporations, is saying when there's no personal liability, there's no Isser Ribbis. You can be borrowing directly from a Jew. There's no Isser. The Ramayishas and Evan Ezer is saying the other way around. A person can borrow from a bank. He can be personally responsible as long as the bank only has an insignificant amount of shareholders. So it's you're dealing with the opposite side. Exactly. Now, the truth is there were a number of banks that are owned or that have significant Jewish shareholders, minority, and they did not want to write a heteriska. What many of them did as an accommodation to their Jewish clients is they said, they were lamdanim, they knew this Igros Moshe. They said, we'll lend you the money non-recourse. And that way, even though there are some Jewish owners, it's Roiv Akum, you have that Rav Moshe, the two together, you can be Mekel. It was interesting. It was a Freya bank, but they had gone through the issue enough times, they already knew that you put these two things together, the Rabbanim were ready to be Mekel. Now, I met someone a couple of months ago, came over to me, and he gave me a tremendous Ashokayach. He told me that a few years ago, during the real estate boom, he had bought a property. He had financed, he cashed out, he pulled out $2-3 million off the property, and he dealt with his bank. He asked them to write a heteriska. And there was a whole back and forth at the time. At the end of the day, they said, no problem, we'll do it non-recourse. That was 3 years ago. The property value plummeted. And at the end of the day, since it was non-recourse, he ended up just calling the bank saying, take the property back. And he ended up doing very well. So I don't know if that was the kavana mitchila, but it's a heter, which besides being very practical, has some very nice side effects that can be very helpful. Okay, we're out of time. We were supposed to start Siman Kuf Samach. This has all been a hakdama to Hilchos Ribbis. In Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll actually start learning about Ribbis itself.